Welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we have honest, explicit, yet wholesome conversations about sex, pleasure, and the joy of intimate connection. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you will find all of the resources we have been lovingly creating for you since we stepped into our uniforms in 2006. We had met in the halls of sexological bodywork training, fallen in love, and devoted our lives to sharing proven strategies so you can access more pleasure, more touch, more joy, more love. It's all waiting for you at pleasuremechanics.com. On today's episode, we want to invite you into a brand new teaching we just posted that is kind of a culmination of work we've been doing for, 20 years, really looking at how we can reckon with sexual shame. We just offered this presentation as part of a kink summit, and we got to be live in the room as a few hundred people took it in and hear their responses and be in dialogue with people. And so we are really proud of how this teaching has landed for people, and we want to share it with you all. You can find it right now for free at pleasuremechanics.com/pod. It is part of our Pleasure Pod membership offerings. Your first month in the Pleasure Pod is free, so you can come, watch the teaching, poke around, and settle in. And if you enjoy being a supporting member of the Pleasure Mechanics community, if you value the work we do in the world, if you want to support us and keep going towards our 500th episode and beyond, then you can stick around for a sustaining membership of $10 a month and be part of our inner circle. Again, you can find this teaching we're about to talk about at pleasuremechanics.com/pod. And your first month is absolutely free, so you can watch this teaching. We want this to be available to everyone because shame, and sexual shame specifically, is a sticky web force that impacts all of us. And I do mean all of us. And some of us carry a much heavier burden with this. Some of us think we're free of it and then get slammed unexpectedly in moments. And all of us, as we're going to discuss, are subject to the force of shame, even if it's unspoken and unnamed. Shame is one of these invisible forces that if we don't name it, if we don't slay it head on, it slays us. One way or the other, it forces conformity and drives so many of our decisions and our motivations that until we are really rooting it out, we are subject to shame's embrace. And it's a stinky one. It's one that doesn't allow us to thrive in our authenticity and trust our intimate connections and relax into the feeling of safe belonging with one another. And so many of us ache for that. And what's in between us and what we call fearless belonging is shame.
Oh, I think it's powerful for us to all remember that it's completely normal and human to experience shame.
Yes.
And to just know that there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. You are not broken. It is just normal to experience shame in this world. And then we have choice and we have agency around what we do with it. Mm-hmm. But of course, first we have to see it before we can do anything else with it. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what we wanted this talk to offer people, is just bringing some awareness and some attention to this force that does guide us sometimes, that moves our actions, that informs choices that we make. And when we have a little more awareness and attention around it, we can have more choice. Mm-hmm. And that with that, often more freedom around what we do, what we experience, what we allow ourselves.
And how we express ourselves, right? Because so much of what shame tells us, and just to differentiate really quickly between shame and guilt, shame tells us that we are wrong, that we are broken, that we are not worthy, that something about us is inherently wrong or gross or doesn't fit in. And because of that thing about us that is wrong or broken or lesser than, right? Shame operates on hierarchies. because of that feeling, we tell ourselves we don't belong, we don't fit in, we don't allow intimate connection and social bonding, or we don't even show up for the party, right? Because we don't feel like we fit in there. Whereas guilt, so shame tells us that we are broken. Guilt is a healthy pro-social emotion that tells us we've done something wrong or against our values. Guilt is repairable. Guilt drives us to reconnect and take ownership and accountability for our actions. Shame is an antisocial, kind of external experience that is done to you, but then internalized, and we make it about who we are. And this is the thing, is so much of shame is about our social conditioning and how we were raised and the social messages of belonging and worthiness and how much we fit in as ourselves. So this is not just an issue for people who have different bodies or don't feel good enough in some way. Gender itself is kind of a system of discipline through shaming. Are you man enough? Are you a good girl enough? Are you being the right kind of boy? And we have all been subjected to this in one way or another. And that's just one layer. And in our research, so the Shame Slayers talk is very much informed by you all, by our Pleasure Mechanics community. And we have a Shame Slayer survey that is still live, and you'll find it in the pod right along with the talk so you can participate. And I love the director of the summit, as she did the survey, called it like an extensive journaling prompt. And that is so right on. All of our interactive experiences are designed to evoke and perhaps provoke out of you your own truths. How has shame shown up for you? And so we break down like 20 different kinds of sexual shame and give you examples of them. And so you can kind of reflect for yourself, what are the ways that you have been shamed into believing that you are not enough, that you are unworthy, that you don't fit in, that you are not a beloved, exquisite, unique and wonderful member of the human family? Right? Like, that is our inherent dignity that we all deserve, is that knowing that just as we are enough and we are lovable and we belong. Any variation from that is shame operating within our psyches that tell us, no, this isn't for you, this belonging thing. No, you're not cool enough, beautiful enough, rich enough, smart enough, skilled enough, anything enough. And therefore, you're not worthy of connection, right?
And this is where having the vocabulary to really pinpoint and see where your shame originates mm-hmm. is incredibly useful, so that you can find the precise antidote mm-hmm. to undo that or work with it. So the survey is really powerful for that, to give you a moment to really reflect and get clear about what is real for you.
And this excavation process we lead you through, right? Because we can start thinking about, well, who shamed you? Well, my grandmother, mm-hmm. you know? And then you think about, well, who shamed her? Where did she learn those messages? Was she trying to protect you in that shaming behavior? And these intergenerational legacies, these cultural roots of shame become more and more evident. And then we can locate ourselves within them. And so much body shame, right? So much fat phobia, so much ableism is rooted in a lineage, a history of these hierarchies that say some bodies are more valuable than others. And once we see that, most of us will orient ourselves around, like, I don't want to be a part of that. That's not me. That's not what I stand for in this world. And so once you have that perspective on it, it really helps us see the behaviors in real time and interrupt them. And that's what Shame Slayers is about. It's about noticing shame, getting really clear about what it feels like, and how experiences of even things like shyness can be a symptom of shame. And one of the moments in the talk I really loved is when I talked about the highest cost of shame is conformity, right? And all the ways we contort ourselves away from our authentic truths in order to fit in, I think is the highest cost of shame that we all pay. and what happens on the other side of that? What happens when we start noticing it and then developing strategies to slay the shame in its tracks? After we take a break to thank our sponsor for this episode, I want to look at some of these shame slaying strategies, especially the social ones, and think about how we can all step up into becoming, into practicing being shame slayers.
Mm.
But first, let's take a moment and thank Factor Meals for feeding us so well this week and offering at-home delivery of ready-to-eat chef-designed meals that are ready to go in 2 minutes flat. They have been such a game changer for us here at the Pleasure Mechanics headquarters. We love food, mm-hmm. and so we tend to cook 3 meals a day from scratch. And having Factor meals ready to go in our fridge has saved us time and money from that impulse to want to go out or get takeout. We have beautiful, complete meals waiting for us in our fridge, along with extras like power nutritional shots, turmeric ginger elixirs that have been so good on my throat recently. Mm. So big thanks to Factor Meals. You can customize your own meals according to your dietary preferences, whether you are paleo or gluten-free or dairy-free or some combination like we are. You can dial it in so you get deliciousness on your own terms, delivered right to your door. Head to factormeals.com/pleasure50 and use the code pleasure50, that's 50, to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next. That's code pleasure50 at factormeals.com/pleasure50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next while your subscription is active. And you're going to want to keep it active because it's delicious, saves you time and money, and keeps you nourished for all that life brings. That's factormeals.com/pleasure50, and you will find this link in the show notes and at pleasuremechanics.com/toolbox, where you will find all of the links from our generous sponsors to equip you for your pleasure journey ahead. And Factor meals have been so delicious for us. We really love food, and food, like sex, is one of these places that we can find our shame operating over and over again. When you go on dates, do you feel free to eat in front of people? When you go to parties, how free do you feel to hit the snack table? Do you shame other people for their food choices if they are different than yours? Food is, again, one of these places that is so culturally conditioned that there are so many messages being bombarded at us about what is normal and healthy and right. And to find your internal sense of what feels good and right to you is a pretty bold move. And like food, sex, sexuality, gender expression, how we express ourselves with and through our bodies, what we allow our bodies to experience sexually, what we allow ourselves to ask for, all of these things are influenced by our shame loads, whether visible or not to us. And this is why it is so essential to be in this process of shame slaying. So with food, with sex, with our body expressions, all of these kind of daily ways we are living with and through our bodies, we can start noticing how we make decisions and what we allow ourselves and start being vigilant for the influences of shame, of messages that, you know, you don't belong, or you're not good enough, or that you're wrong for wanting the thing you want.
Right. Within all of us, there may be things that we want that we actually don't pursue so that we don't have to feel shame, mm-hmm. so that we don't have to feel uncomfortable because we're stepping outside of what is conforming. Mm-hmm. So
it's like shame avoidance.
Yeah, we prevent doing a lot of things so that we don't feel shame. Oof.
Yeah, what do we avoid, right? And this goes down to like things like wardrobe choice. What do we force ourselves to do or not do?
Or not ask for prostate massage when we really want it, right? There's
take it there, sure. Yeah. I mean, right, and like to go to the sexual, right? Because we can linger in food and clothing choices and all these daily things. But when it comes to our sex lives, there are whole arenas that we don't even open the door or window to and peek inside and consider because of the cultural shame. For so many people, kink, gender play, and even things like choosing not to have sex or not date for a while, to remain solo, to not become a parent. All of these kind of social, sexual decisions are guided by what we have been taught is right and wrong, and what we are taught these behaviors mean about us. You know, so we've been teaching, right, you said prostate massage, we've been teaching prostate touch for 20 years, and we still get emails almost every day from people saying, I want this experience, or I've been touching my own butt and prostate in masturbation my whole life, but I will never ask my wife. And so all of that intimacy, all of that pleasure, all of that erotic experience that is there available to them is sealed by this kind of like web of shame that assumes what their partner will think about it, right? So how do we allow ourselves to expand when it is potentially so scary, when we actually do? Because we've also gotten emails saying things like, I asked my wife for a new thing, and now I am getting a divorce. That is a real potential cost, is the loss of social connection when we come out. Queers know a lot about this. Trans people know a lot about this. What is the cost of being authentically who you are? But also, what is the cost of not being who you are? And there is an edge there that all of us ride. And one of the remedies for this, one of the major tenets of the shame slaying approach to shame, is that it is a social endeavor. We do it together. And part of the self-care strategy as you're coming out is finding fearless belonging, seeking out community, putting yourself in places where people affirm the shit out of you. Pride Month is coming up. It is a 5-weekend pride this year, and I am watching my calendar swell into May and beyond with events that are all about pride, affirming one another, celebration of diversity, allowing plurality, allowing self-expression. Go to a pride event. And one of the joys I have in dating straight cis men is bringing them into the queer world and watching their minds be blown with a sense of permission and joyousness and togetherness that queers do so well at our best. And they find more belonging. They, after lifetimes of being conditioned as a straight cis man, finally get to be more of who they are within the embrace of queer community. We're about to go to a kink convention for 4 days of Leatherdyke Paradise. And this is a site of glorification. It's a place where we can both be even more fully who we are. And in that process, we will confront shame, as we did last year when we went. But on the other side, we will be a little more free.
And this is what I mean, that you feel like you don't have shame in certain areas of life, and then you notice that there is some that shows up. And if we just accept that it is a lifelong process, that different shames will come up at different points, and get used to that, get comfortable with that. And all we have to do then is work with it and see what we can release. It is really like the onion layers, and more just comes up and comes off, and we get freer and freer.
Yeah. And the big Brené Brown quote about shame, right, is if you put shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, it cannot exist. In the Shame Slayers talk, I kind of make the joke, right, of how do we get the shame in the petri dish to start with, and then where do we get the empathy from to douse it with? And so we answer this question in the talk and give you very specific strategies of how we can confront and slay shame together. I'm a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, and when I think slay, I think of us all having appropriate weapons to slay our demons and to attack that shame again and again and again, because it comes up this way, and we aren't alone in the dark with our own shame. It's so important to remember, you don't have to slay just your own shame. And in fact, sometimes it's easier to give your buddies an assist, right? Like just like Buffy had her group of friends and she didn't slay the demons all by herself. We all do this together. And one of the most powerful ways to slay shame is to slay other people's shame narratives as you hear them, to slay shame-based jokes as you experience it with your friend group, to interrupt stories of body hierarchies and judging. And this is around us all the time. And so there's lots of opportunities to slay shame in action. Dick jokes are one of the best, most ripe fields for plucking because they're everywhere. And even people who call themselves sex positive and, you know, kinky and all these things, like, will make dick jokes. And it's not okay.
Meaning just, especially like small dick jokes and making that mean something.
Or even like, you know, big dick jokes too. All dick jokes. Just, all dick jokes. Jokes about compensation. Jokes about dicks being ugly. Jokes about men being pigs. Jokes like men get picked on. So I'm sorry. I'm going to defend my men right now. But we think we know what shame looks like. And we have these very rigid cultural assumptions of what shame, how shame operates. But it's actually so insidious. And we do it to the people we love the most. Like one person after the talk this week wrote to us and shared this story of the first time his wife saw his dick. She laughed about how small it is. And she still continues to mock him over the size of his penis. And he like brings big toys to bed. He tries to fulfill what he calls her size queen wants. And he is doing his best to work with what he's got, right? But that hurt of being mocked and being degraded and being told you're not enough for just who you are is painful for all of us. And the more we do it, like the more we are on shame's side. And that's not where we want to be. We want to be shame slayers. We want to get one another more and more free of this so we can express ourselves more fully, be in our power, be in our authenticity, and love one another for the glorious individuals we are, right? And, you know, with the people I love, like as I watch shame slough off of us, that was really hard to say, but that's sometimes how it feels. Like we get these sticky webs, these accumulations, these debris of shame, like we really can exfoliate it the fuck off of ourselves. I watch people I love become more of who they are. And in that joyous expression, there is so much beauty and opportunity to contribute who we are to this world, right? So on the other side of shame is so much freedom, so much joy, so much more. There's an unwinding of an internal tension that is priceless. That is priceless. And we can all seek sites of fearless belonging. And for me, that's like, you know, a queer kinky dance club. But for you, it might be knitting circle, where you can just really relax in and do your knitting and talk to people as you are in that rhythmic process of knitting. And you might find beautiful sense of belonging there. Especially maybe if you're a man knitter and have never knitted with other people before. Because you were told as a boy not to do that. I was just talking to one of my favorite queer DJs about his journey. And he, as a boy dancer, experienced so much shaming of him and would talk to other boy dancers as they came in to get dance clothes from his shop in tears, right? Because they loved this thing. They loved dancing, but they were teased for it. They were bullied for it. Or they were told something about themselves that weren't true. Like, oh, if you dance, you must be a fag. Like, what if you're not a fag?
You right? just like to dance.
You just like to dance. You know, his motto became just keep dancing. Right? Like we have to be who we are in this world and fearlessly seek out communities and belonging. It is there and ready for all of us. We just have to get through enough shame layers that we can show up for it. In the trans community, we just lost an elder, Cecilia, who worked in a trans clinic for many, many years. And the stories that poured out were consistently that when you walked in, she said, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to take care of you. Right? And what would it feel like to walk in a door where you felt that feeling of, we're so glad you're here. We're going to take care of you. You're home now. Welcome home, right? We all need to be welcomed back home into belonging, shameless belonging, fearless belonging of our full selves. And this is what Shame Slayers is all about. And we invite you in to the free talk. It's a 25-minute video presentation. We are very proud of it, and we want to offer it to you for free. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com/pod. Your first month is free. You can watch the Shame Slayers talk. The erotic touch activation is there. Our bonus resource on Emily Nagoski's new book, Come Together, if you've been reading that and want our bonus resource on emotional floor plans to find your pathways towards lust, that's there waiting for you. And you'll find Shame Slayers and the survey and all of the resources to go along with it. So you can step into your shame slaying power. Yes. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.